Good morning, and thank you again for tuning in to Bible Talk. This is presented by the County Line Church of Christ, which meets at County Line and Miller Roads in St. Joseph, Missouri. We're located just northwest of the new shopping area on the North Belt Highway. We appreciate you tuning in to listen. This morning we're going to continue looking at authority in religion. All realms of life, we understand we must have authority. There's only two sources of authority, though, in religion. As we've been studying from Matthew chapter 21:25, as God, through His Son Jesus Christ, made available to us that those two realms of authority and religion are either from heaven or from men. That is, from God or from men. If it's from God, then it comes through His Son Jesus Christ, through the apostles as they were guided by the Holy Spirit to give us the written word, which we are under today. The completed revelation of God for us is the New Testament. The Old Testament was also given by the Holy Spirit through those men that were selected, and we have the Old Testament as inspired writings today. We're under the New Covenant, though, and we will answer to God concerning what is laid down in the New Covenant as we read it in the New Testament. We studied last time concerning establishing Bible authority from commands, statements, approved examples, and necessary inference. And we also looked at generic and specific authority. This morning I would like to look at some instances or sources of human authority. You know, man has always sought to substitute God's will with his own wisdom. We have examples, many in the Bible. You can go back to Cain and Abel in Genesis 4:5. And he tried to offer a sacrifice God hadn't authorized. Or Nadab and Abihu in Leviticus 10:1-2. They offered strange fire. Or King Saul in 1 Samuel 15. Notice God's attitude towards such action. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 2 and verses 12 and 13. The inspired prophet there tells us, "Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith Jehovah, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the foundation of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." This is a beautiful illustration to help us to understand that if we try to follow God and do what to please Him through the commandments and doctrines of men, then it's just like trying to take a broken cistern and pick water up to drink. It's just not going to hold it. Or as we read in Matthew 7:26-27, it's like the foolish man who tried to build a house upon the sand. It's just not going to work, dear listener. We have to understand that we must act religiously according to the authority from our Creator. Let's look at instances upon today. Let's start with our parents. You know, people say, well, you know, if it was good enough for my parents, so it's good enough for me. And, you know, that's an emotional feeling that we base what we believe and practice religiously upon what our parents taught us and what they practiced and believed. But Jesus warns us about this in Matthew chapter 10 and verses 37 and 38, where he very clearly says, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." We understand then that we must put God above whatever we've been taught by whoever, if it goes against his authority, his teachings. The example that we could look at would be Saul of Tarsus. He had to forsake the religion of his parents and turn away from that religion because it wasn't correct. Jesus had come and instituted the New Testament, the New Covenant, and the law of Moses that the Jews had been under was not in effect any longer. And so Saul of Tarsus had to make an about-face from that religion and turn to the religion that the Son of God had established, fulfilling all those prophecies in the old law, that he would come and set up a new covenant, a new law, both for Jew and Gentile, for all mankind. Then another source of human authority we'll look at quickly is the conscience. Let your conscience be your guide, or another way people say it today, it really doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. Saul of Tarsus learned that this was not a sufficient guide. He said in passages such as Acts 23:1 that he had done all things with a clear conscience. He had never violated his conscience in serving God, yet he was totally wrong because he was not turning to the Messiah and turning to his teachings, but he was staying with the law of Moses. And that law of Moses had been put on the cross and fulfilled by Jesus when he died. We find passages of conscience problems that were warned about. Let's go back to one in the Old Testament in the book of Proverbs. And I want to look at Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16 and looking at verse 25. Where it says there, but there is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So we can't follow our conscience as our guide. Conscience is, in fact, that faculty of mind that tells us whether we are doing right or wrong, according to the way we have been taught, and that's what we have to understand. But like a clock, if it is set wrong, it will always be wrong, no matter how well it operates. Another source of human authority is human wisdom. People that today put all of their weight of authority in following the wisdom of scholars and religious leaders, the clergy, the hierarchy. We're warned about this in many passages of Scripture. For example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and looking at verse 21, it says, "Foreseeing that in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom knew not God. It was God's good pleasure through the foolishness of the preaching, or the thing preached, to save them that believe." We see this principle back in the Old Testament, back in Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 9, for example, where it says, the wise men are put to shame, they are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of Jehovah, and what manner of wisdom is in them? Again, in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, it says, "O Jehovah, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." Yes, we must understand that preachers are included, and they can only cite divine authority. They are not authority to themselves. Only the authority from God is found in the Scriptures, and they can only cite that authority correctly. Many also trust in their own think-sos instead of divine revelation. The inspired writer, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians, deals with this pretty extensively, and let's read a few verses concerning that. 1 Corinthians 2, let's pick up at verse 6 of 1 Corinthians 2 and read through the rest of the chapter. "We speak wisdom, however, among them that are full grown, yet a wisdom not of this world, nor of the rulers of this world," excuse me, "who are coming to nothing. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, even the wisdom that hath been hidden with God, or which God foreordained before the worlds unto our glory, which none of the rulers of this world has known. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, things which eye saw not and ear heard not, and which entered not into the heart of man, whatsoever things God prepared for them that love him, and unto us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For who among men knoweth the things of a man, except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the things of God none knows, except the Spirit of God. But we receive not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is from God, that we might know the things which were freely given to us from God, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Spirit teaches, combining spiritual things with spiritual words. Now the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, and he cannot know them, because they are spiritually judged. But he that is spiritually spiritual judgeth all things, and he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, but that he should instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So very clearly we see here that God has made known his will through these inspired men, and we can have this knowledge, this wisdom today, but we must follow it. It is our authority, not human wisdom. And so you read passages like Isaiah 55 and verses 8 and 9 as the inspired prophet of old made these comments, and the principles, of course, of truth here stand today. And there he says concerning God, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith Jehovah. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And so we can only know God, dear listener, through what we think. Next thing that I'd like to look at concerning some sources of human authority would be feelings, our feelings, what we feel. Many people today put their trust in some physical feeling, a so-called miraculous divine healing, or a better felt than told experience, instead of what God's Word teaches. Feelings have to do with the physical nature, while salvation has to do with our spiritual nature. Feelings can be very deceptive, especially in religious matters. A good example would be Jacob concerning Joseph. He thought that was his other son, but it wasn't. It was Joseph. We cannot trust our feelings, dear listener. Back in chapter 28 of Proverbs, and looking at verse 26 of chapter 28 in Proverbs, we find this. It's a very interesting and true statement. It says, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered." We can't trust in our own heart, dear listener. We have to look to the Word of God to find the truth in how we are to live. And so this is very important. The next thing I would like to look at concerning sources of human authority would be human creeds. Now, these are found in various manuals and disciplines and catechisms that are supposed to summarize and explain what the New Testament teaches. Dear listener, I would have you to consider that if a creed contains more than the New Testament, it contains too much. If it contains less than the New Testament, it does not contain enough. In other words, what the New Testament is our creed. It is what God has given us. The New Testament should be our only creed, and we should not be rewriting it to explain what we think it means. We should just use it as our creed book and put away all of these human creeds that men have created down through the centuries. We cannot please God by accepting the creeds of men. Remember Matthew 15:9, where Jesus said, "But in vain do they worship me, teaching as their doctrines the commandments of men or the precepts of men." We cannot be involved in doing that and at the same time please God. Also, we cannot add to or take away from God's Word. Remember Revelation 22:18 and 19, with Deuteronomy chapter 4 and Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 6 and many other places, God warns us not to add to, take away from His Word. In other words, we can't tamper and change God's Word. When it comes to religious teachings, then God is the only one that has the authority to do so, and that is for us today, the New Testament. Remember 2 John 9 that we've looked at in the past. "Whosoever goeth onward and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ has not God." So we've got to understand that God is very strict concerning this. Well, we'll take this time to thank you very much for listening to Bible Talk here on KFEQ 680 AM, and it's being presented by the Church County Line Church of Christ, meets at the corner of County Line and Miller Roads, located northwest of the new shopping area on the Belt Highway. We invite you to worship with us. We worship Sunday mornings, 9:30 AM for Bible study, and then 10:20 for worship services, and 4 in the afternoon for worship service. We also meet Wednesday evenings at 7 PM for Bible study. We would like to encourage you to give us a call if you would be interested in having a Bible correspondence course mailed to you through the mail, or if you would like to have a home Bible study with us to discuss any of these issues We would be happy to set up and arrange such a meeting with you. Please leave your name, phone number at our number at 816-279-4737. Again, that number is area code 816-279-4737. Well, as we continue looking at some sources of human authority, I would like to look at a few more. The next thing we look at is the majority. This is another source of human authority. Unfortunately, in the sight of God, the majority does not determine right. It never has, it never will. In fact, God tells us very clearly that the majority, unfortunately, is going to be lost because they do not turn to His truth and respond to it correctly. They don't obey His will and become true worshipers. Look with me to Matthew chapter 7, and let's look at verses 13 and 14 of Matthew chapter 7. There it says, "Enter in by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many are they that enter in thereby. For narrow is the gate, and straitened is the way that leads unto life, and few are they that find it." We have to let the truth that God has given us to sink in, and even though we don't like what we read, this is reality, this is truth, and God tells us that the majority are not going to be saved. Some religious organizations actually take pride in the fact that they are democratic and that their policies are determined by a majority vote. But the wishes of the congregation may not be right. You can see examples, especially with God's people in the Old Testament period. Israel wanted gods to go after them in Exodus chapter 32 and other places. Later, they wanted a king in 1 Samuel 8. All these things were against what God had set up. And later, King Saul said that the people wanted to save the animals when he was supposed to utterly destroy them in 1 Samuel 15:15-24. In other words, they were using argumentation that the majority was right, but the majority was wrong in the sight of God because that's not what God wanted. So oftentimes the desires of people are contrary to the wishes of the Lord. And we have to understand that it might be something that the majority want to do, but that doesn't make it right. Another area, a source of human authority in religion today, are the elders of a local church. Now, in the New Testament, God has set up government, and in each local church being autonomous or independent, there are elders, if they meet the qualifications in Timothy and Titus, they can be set up to tend the flock of God. 1 Peter 5 and verse 2 talks about that. And they can actually exercise the oversight of the local congregation as shepherds. Acts 20 and verse 28 deals with that. But they are under the authority of the chief shepherd, and the chief shepherd, of course, being Jesus Christ. And they do not have any legislative powers in matters of doctrine. But you know, there are many people today that say, well, you know, the elders are responsible for what goes on at the church, so I must abide by what they say. And they're the ones that are going to answer to God, so it doesn't really make any difference if they start teaching and practicing things that are wrong. And that is an argument I've had people tell me, and they just justify what's going on in a local congregation that there's no scriptural authority for by dumping on the elders, who are the spiritual leaders. And, of course, they are responsible. But, dear friend, you and I as individuals are also responsible for worshiping God wrongly and teaching and practicing things He hasn't authorized. So we can't just dump it on the leaders or the elders of the congregation. They're not the source of authority. God's Word is. And so we must understand that they are responsible, but so are we. No elder on earth has the authority to tell you to do anything that is not authorized, anything that is wrong. So keep that in mind. Then the next source of human authority I'd like to look at is the results accomplished. Yes, there are many, many people today that say, well, look at the good we're doing. Look at all of the things we're doing. And they're doing lots of things scriptural or religiously that there's no scriptural authority for. But they justify what they're doing in their minds and among one another by saying, well, look at our results accomplished. You know, some assume that if a thing is a good work, or if it accomplishes big results, then that's sufficient authority for its existence. They assume that the end justifies the means, in other words. But this too fails to qualify as a thing that, as an authorized practice in religion, is right. It does not authorize anything. Again, you can look at examples in the Old Testament. David, for example, he was getting results when he put the Ark of the Covenant on that ox cart. And he bore the Ark of... He was getting results. They were moving it. But it wasn't according to the commandment, the authority of God. They weren't supposed to move it that way. And, of course, a man lost his life over it when it started to tip and fall. And he put his hand up to stop it, but he wasn't supposed to touch it. And he died immediately. And so we've got to understand that, you know, we can be just like us. We can think that we're doing right. We think that it's pleasing to God. But we have to have authority from God to do it the way God wants it done. We have to follow His authority. And so you can read about that in 2 Samuel 6, verses 1 through 11. You might read that, 2 Samuel 6, 1 through 11, when you have time. How about King Uzziah? He was trying to do good work when he wanted to burn incense to the Lord. And you know, I would guess that he was sincere of heart. I mean, we're not really told, but it seemed he wanted to do God's will. But you know, he had the wrong attitude in his heart. He was puffed up because that wasn't a good work that God had authorized him to do. You know, only the priest could do that. It didn't matter how much he wanted to do it or how good he felt or thought about it. God had not authorized him as a king to go offer incense to the Lord. The priests were specified to do that by the Creator in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, 16 through 20. You might look at that when you have time. That's 2 Chronicles chapter 26, 16 through 20. And remember, dear listener, God is the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. He's always demanded that we not add to or take away from His Word. And when He specifies, we can't add to it. We can't change it around. It has to be the way God wants it, because that's what it's all about. Worship to God and service to God is to please Him, not ourselves. A lot of people take religion today to be something that's for them. You know, it's like going to a movie. It's entertainment. It's pleasure. It's something to please them. But that's not what you find in God's Word. If you take your Bible up and quit listening to everybody around you, and you go to the Bible to see if what they're saying is true, you're going to find that worship to God is not something for you. And sure, we benefit from worshiping God. But dear listener, that's byproducts. The main reason for worshiping God is to please Him. We're here on this earth to be well-pleasing to God. We're here on this earth to fear Him and keep His commandments. As the writer of Ecclesiastes summed the entire book of Ecclesiastes up of why are we here upon this, or where is true happiness found? It's to please the Creator. And we have to get that into our minds. Then we'll take the right approach toward authority and how we should please God and worship Him. And we'll start examining what we're doing religiously to see if what we're doing is right or wrong in the sight of God. Now, these people in the Old Testament that we're looking at, David and King Uzziah, they thought they were pleasing God. They thought they were doing right, but it was wrong. And they were rejected in that. Those things they were doing. How about the fire that came down from heaven that immediately consumed Nadab and Abihu, the two sons of Aaron, when they offered strange fire to God? That's another one I want you to go read on your own. Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. You go and look at that carefully and study the whole context. That they offered strange fire which God had not commanded them. Well, it didn't make it right if they thought it was okay. God had already specified, and they were killed immediately. Fortunately, that was under the law of Moses. No, my friend, these sources of authority, whether they be parents, whether they be your conscience or human wisdom or your feelings or human creeds or the majority or even the elders or a preacher or any leader religiously or the results accomplished, these things are not from God. They are not authorized in the New Testament. These are sources of human authority, dear listener, and that's what I would get you to contemplate, to meditate upon, to study your Bible concerning. These things cannot be found authorized in God's holy word. Excuse me. So, as we seek to be true worshipers, as is pointed out in the New Testament, in John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, if we truly want to please our Creator and go to heaven, which this should be our ultimate prime goal in life. Now, I know the devil's got a lot of stuff down here on this earth to divert us from what I'm talking about. That putting God first and seeking His will, seeking to please Him above all else, is really not important. And so what happens is we try to serve mammon. And if we're serving ourselves, if we're serving mammon, we can't serve God. We can't put God first in our life. The devil's got many side rails. He wants to derail us from the truth, get us to believe all kinds of false sources of authority and religion, so we can't find the truth, so we can't be just true worshipers, as John 4:23 and 24 points out. So you and I are responsible to actually check everything we have been taught and everything we practice religiously with God's inspired word, and to see if what we're doing religiously is authorized by Christ in the New Testament. That's what we want listeners to do, and to examine everything that you've been taught, everything that you practice religiously. In other words, dear listener, is your faith from heaven or from men? I'm not talking about just the faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Your faith includes every religious position, belief, practice that you have. Does it come from the New Testament? Can you find it authorized in the New Testament? That's what I'm trying to get across. Is that faith that you practice in all your beliefs, in everything you believe and practice religiously, is it from heaven or from men? We talked about a few things since we started this radio program. Faith only is one that we hit on, because in the New Testament, we're supposed to not only believe and accept that truth, but we have to respond to it by repenting of our sins, by confessing Christ before men, by being buried with Him in baptism to reach the blood of Christ where we can become Christians. Well, that's not being taught today by many religious leaders. They're teaching faith only. Just accept Christ as you as your personal Savior, and He saves you. You've heard a lot about the sinner's prayer. You'll get people to tell you, just pray the sinner's prayer and you're going to be saved. No inspired apostle ever taught that. So we encourage you to ask that question to yourself. Is your faith from heaven or from men? Have you examined the church, for example, of which you're a member of, if you are going to church? And have you examined what they believe and practice religiously? Have you use the New Testament as the authority instead of a creed or a manual or a catechism? Just take your New Testament and let it be the only authority that there is for you in religion, because that's what it teaches. This is God's authority for us today. Dear listener, will you reject everything that is not found in the inspired writings? I want to say that again. If you are trying to put God first in your life, will you reject everything that is not found authorized in the inspired writings? And then will you hold only to that which is authorized from God in His will for us today, the New Testament? That's what we encourage people to do. And that is so very important, because He says that we cannot come back to Him if we don't abide in the doctrine of Christ, if we don't learn to not go beyond the things which are written. We have to speak with thus saith the Lord. We have to speak as His oracles. And that's what we would encourage you to get. Well, we thank you again for listening today, tuning into Bible Talk, presented by the County Line Church of Christ from 8 to 8:30 every Sunday morning. And we're up on County Line and Miller Roads, up north of the new shopping area on the North Belt Highway. And again, we would encourage you to come and worship with us and examine these things that we do, as they did in the first century, Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. for Bible study, and then 10:20 for worship, and then Sunday afternoons at 4 p.m. We also meet Wednesday evenings for Bible study. Again, if you'd like us to mail you a Bible correspondence course, or if you'd like to have a Bible study with us on any of these Bible subjects, we'd be more than happy to do that. Please call us at 816-279-4737. Again, that's 816-279-4737. Again, we really appreciate you listening to our radio program, and we encourage you to tune in next Sunday morning at 8, Lord willing. We'll be back, and we'll try to discuss some more things from God's inspired word. If you think that we're adding or taking away from God's word, please contact us, and we'll get together and discuss those issues. Remember, truth should not fear investigation, so we should get together in an attitude of love. Thank you for listening, and have a great day.